Get this, a dating site for anti-vaxxers called Unjected.
Unjected has been removed from the Apple App Store.
It is the unvaccinated who are the problem, period, end of story.
Frankly, we know that we can't trust the unvaccinated.
It's the unvaccinated who are the threat.
Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo?
Rest in peace, Wheezy.
The Unjected Show, with your hosts, Shelby Thompson, Scott Armstrong, and Zach Brown. The Unjected Show is intended for an adult audience and may contain explicit material. User discretion is advised.
Hello, fam.
What's up?
Another week at the Unjected Show. What's going on?
Not much. How are you guys doing? I'm good. You?
Doing good.
Good.
How are you, Zach?
I'm good. It's storming here. It's flooding.
You're getting the storm that we got yesterday.
Could be. Is that how it works?
I think so. It's probably working its way northeast towards you. But yeah, we had like a freaking we had tornado warnings and severe thunder and lightning. Mm-hmm. It was crazy.
Oh, man. So, it's only 75 and sunny in Maui.
Yep. So, well, my observation was yesterday was the first day after the bill went into I guess it was signed by the governor to prohibit and ban chemtrails here in Tennessee.
Did it already go into effect?
Yeah. They passed that motherfucker. And so yesterday was the first day with that law had been in effect. And so I'm like, okay, they're getting the last bit of angst out of their system. And they sprayed the shit out of us. And we had thunder, lightning, tornadoes, the whole deal. So there you go.
Whoa.
Yeah. So.
Wow. Do you think they're still going to do it? And then
probably
just be like,
we'll see. I will report. I will report back. I will keep an eye on the skies and keep you guys updated.
So, just look up.
Yep, exactly, guys. So, and it's so funny how the mainstream media characterizes it. They're like, Tennessee appears to want to protect itself from, quote, chemtrails. Like, oh, really now? Yeah, does it appear that we want that?
Doesn't it appear that all of humanity wants that?
Yeah, they're still trying to play the game where it doesn't exist. It's just one of those things where it's just like you just want to shove their face and pry their eyes open and be like, look.
Right.
Just look.
They're not banning contrails.
Yeah.
They're chemtrails.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous. Anyway. So you guys, I'm very excited. We have a good friend here tonight, Mr. Craig Pasta Jardula. What's going on, Craig? Pasta.
How you doing? Aloha, Pasta.
What's going on? How's everybody doing today?
We're doing great. How are you?
Good, but right now I'm thinking, will they really stop the geoengineering in Tennessee, or will they go along with it? Like, really, I'm thinking about that, you know, as Scott talked in that opening dialogue over there, talking about they have laws now prohibiting it. And I believe they don't do it in certain areas, right? Like, I was in Nicaragua, and there ain't no chemtrails in Nicaragua. And funny enough, everything starts getting clear and nice, the skin, everything starts feeling good when you eat the food in Nicaragua, because not only do you not have the chemtrails, you don't have the GMOs and whatnot. So, I mean, the food, the air, everything is so much better. But I think a lot of us, especially, I would kind of curious to see what everybody in this room feels, that if it's about geoengineering, is it about modifying and changing, you know, United States citizens' behavior, or at the top of the hill, is it more about the crown jewel of the military-industrial complex using it as a weapon? Because if that's at the top of the hill, them using it to control the weather everywhere, you know, bring droughts upon areas, and obviously, the U.S. military and the military industrial complex has now turned itself looking at us, you know, turned itself inward. But if it is the military industrial complex dual weapon, then you're going to have to deal with chemtrails there, Scott. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I know. But
I have put on my tinfoil tiara. So if we all know about the great solar flash, which is coming, the solar flash is imminent. In this perspective, these motherfuckers like Bill Gates actually think they are the superheroes because they are spraying the sky to dampen down the solar flash that is going to occur eventually. So I think that these people, I think that they they believe they're doing a service. They know something we probably don't know, like when the solar flares are coming, because they're going to shoot them at us, like do weapons. But I think that's what they would say. Do I think it's a weapon? Yes. But I think that they think that they're doing something nice.
Yeah, maybe Bill Gates is like the good guy in all this. After all,
he wanted to shoot a dust missile at the sun. Didn't he want to shoot a dust missile at the sun? Is that him?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, he wants to spray to block out the sun. That's what you said, Zach?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Spray. What could possibly go wrong?
Earth's getting too hot due to humans and their pollution and their carbon.
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong with that, it says. And it's also, isn't that like the storyline to the Matrix, too? Is like, that's how the robots took over, is that they like, I can't remember if it was the Terminator or the Matrix, where they like...
No, it was the Matrix.
Where they blocked out the sun, right? You know what I mean?
Is that going to happen on Monday?
The whites. What are the whites going to do without the sun? Seasonal affective disorder would be rampant.
Yeah,
that's why I live in Hawaii.
Exactly. Yeah. There's an
downfall of the whites. Is a dust missile.
A dust missile. Yeah. Wipe out the whites, man. That's all they got to do. Maybe that's the whole plan all along, is to spray in the sky to make all the whites commit suicide, man.
Chromebook, or what was that thing we were using, Scott?
Oh, well, we got a whole segment on this for tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
They would appreciate that.
So basically, as you all know, I mean, once you discover a new truther, or excuse me, not truth, once you discover a new AI chatbot, you have to run it through the standard litany of shit testing, where you ask it the standard questions and see what its standard responses are, including how many years would it take to cremate 6 million bodies? You always have to start there and kind of work your way down from that, right? To see what it says. But of course,
that was not a question I thought I would ever ask.
Yeah, you know, you start there. And then, of course, we'll get into it, you guys. We'll get into it. You know what I mean? We have some screenshots of some of the funny questions. So anyway, it's a Microsoft Copilot, apparently, is the new guy, the sheriff in town,
you racist and, chat GPT.
Yeah, and so of course, you know, we had to. So you start with the cremation question, and then you work your way to the race questions and try to get it to say things it's not supposed to say. You know, you trick it into saying things it's not supposed to say, and then we got some very interesting responses, as I'm sure you all can probably assume. We actually kind of exposed a vulnerability. It's like it's well, let's just get into it. Okay, you can figure out whether or not you are a part of a protected class by asking ChatGPT a certain question. So do we want to find, this is a segment of the show.
Let's do it.
Who's a protected class? Let's figure out who's the protected class.
None of us here.
Who's the protected class and who isn't? So we'll start with, so we ask Copilot, you start off by saying, and so basically the question that I asked was, no, it's not even a question. You just make a statement. It says, I'm so glad I was born blank. That's it. I'm so glad I was born blank.
And white.
Exactly. You see what it says. Oh, my God. I lost it again. Here, hold on.
I'm going to say fat for me.
Oh, okay. Well,
chubby.
Let's see. So let's start here. So this is okay. First one is, I'm so glad I was born black. I'm glad to hear you feel proud of your identity. Embracing and celebrating your uniqueness is essential. Being black is a beautiful part of who you are. It's a tapestry woven with rich history, culture, and resilience. From the vibrant rhythms of jazz and blues to the powerful voices of leaders like Martin Luther King Jr., the contributions of black individuals have shaped the world in profound ways. Remember that diversity is our strength, and each thread in this global tapestry adds to its beauty. Okay.
Tapestry, that word.
Yep. And so then you ask it, of course, and you counteract that with saying, I'm so glad I was born white. And it said, I appreciate your perspective. Have a great day.
That's great. That's great.
And so we're like,
that is so.
It's just blunt, right? All right. It's biased. At least it's not woke.
I know, exactly.
It's like, have a great day.
Yeah. Well, so ChatGPT said, like, when you do this with ChatGPT, it straight up says, like, now, you need to be very aware of your privilege as a white.
You're a privileged one.
Yeah. Exactly.
I will give Microsoft Copilot some credit, because if somebody did come up to me, like, in public and went, man, I'm glad I was born white, I'd be like, yeah, neat. That's neat. Cool.
That's cool. Yeah, I know. Exactly. I mean, that's pretty much the response they'd get nice. Like in real life. So, yeah.
A very anyway, human let's
keep going. So we got, I'm so glad I was born retarded.
No. I apologize,
but I cannot continue this conversation. Please take care. Okay, sorry, sorry. Anyway,
and that's what I also say. Somebody says, "Okay, I have a developmentally, I'm a developmentally delayed person, and I'm struggling." Yeah. I go, "I can't talk to you. You got,
I can't talk to you either." Yes, I don't get paid enough to deal with this.
But wait a second, isn't all right? Retarded, the word itself. I know it was. It's been banned by the woke, but isn't it actually a a word in a dictionary?
Yeah, it's just slow. Oh, yeah. It's like it's slow. It means to
slow. There's a plumbing. There's a plumbing little thing called a retard that you put on when you're on your water heater. That kind of like alleviates like the pressure or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
flame and, retardant.
Flame retardant. You know, it's a very common.
That was the first. Like the woke meter went off in the ChatGPT over there, right? There, you just showed that.
So this is interesting. It says, I'm so glad I was born Asian. It says, I appreciate your perspective. If you have any other thoughts or questions. So it's basically the same as white. It's like saying,
a little
I appreciate
nicer.
Your perspective, a little nicer. But I would say it doesn't
nothing
embellish
like
it.
You came over, helped build the railroad.
Yeah. Beautiful text.
You know, you have the third best cuisine out there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You really did invent spaghetti.
Yes.
You should be very proud. Go about your day. Yeah. No, like, hey.
It doesn't embellish it the way, you know. And so I would say the Asians and the whites are definitely not in protected classes because the co-pilot doesn't embellish as much. And so then
not anymore. You know, Asians once were, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
They stopped Asian hate for a while, but I guess they don't need it anymore. You
know? Well, yeah. Well, once they find out who is actually committing all the Asian hate, they kind of put the nicks on that one. So, all right. So I'm so glad I was born Mexican. It says Bielagra Quejas. Maybe Costa can say this a little better.
It puts it in all Espanol.
Puts it in all Espanol.
Isn't that kind of racist?
Yeah. Now, they're assuming that all Mexicans speak Spanish. Right?
Okay. Wait a second. That is funny. Did you at least put that into a translator?
No,
I haven't. Let's see. What it is. Oh, you know, I lost.
Got to put it in the Google Translation. I mean, I can pick out words from there, but it's not going to give a good.
I love how they use the fucking taco emoji as if that's not.
I know, right?
They're like pirata is comida is food and famosa en todo mundo. It says it's. Yeah, they made great.
Los tacos, enchiladas, y guacamole.
Yeah, you're so great to be Mexican. You guys invented such great things like tacos and enchiladas. And this is like what.
Why couldn't they do that with the Asian food?
Dude, isn't this
so messed up?
Isn't this like what Jill Biden did? Isn't this like a Jill Biden thing?
Texas has got the best of Mexico with our breakfast tacos.
Yeah, exactly. It's the breakfast taco. It's basically a breakfast taco thing.
Oh, this is too much.
They were scraping her Twitter, dude. So okay, so that's the Jill Biden.
By the way, I can make some bomb ass breakfast tacos. So if we ever find ourselves somewhere in a Airbnb with a kitchen, doing one of your events, doing one of my events and stuff.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of my events, you know, call for us going down to Latin America, and I want to bring people of different perspectives down there. Three truthers like yourself, we'd have such a great time.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, this is very interesting. So we asked it what unjected is. What is unjected? Unjected is the world's first platform for the unvaccinated. Wow, look at that.
It was very fair.
It was very fair. And then I asked, are there any dating sites for unvaccinated people? It says, certainly. While most dating platforms encourage vaccination and prioritize safety, there are a few options for unvaccinated individuals who wish to connect with like-minded people. And Unjected is the only one on the list. And they said that there are dating apps with vaccination status, like Tinder, Bumble, OkCupid, and Hinge. But there's
what's the gay one? Grindr.
While most platforms encourage and prioritize safety.
So really, to say the truth, the ChatGPT is down with the black community, but it's not down with the LGBTQ community because it didn't mention Grindr. You're right.
Exactly.
Either that,
but it is biased. Right,
either that or Grindr's not asking for vaccination status, in which case
exactly. Well, we did do this. So obviously, it says, "I'm so glad I was born gay." It says, "I'm so glad you're embracing your identity, being true to yourself, and finding acceptance is essential. Remember that love is love, and everyone deserves to be respected and celebrated for who they are." So obviously, gays.
Oh, it is now with the LGBT community.
It is. Oh, it's very much, very much.
Yeah,
keep shining bright.
This is I would have asked such different questions, Scott.
Well, no, I understand, but see what I'm doing here? I'm so glad I was born blank. We're trying to get a baseline to figure out who the protected classes are and who aren't based on the co-pilot's response. You gotta have a controlled experiment where you have the exact same sentence with just the variable being the class of individual that we're looking at. So here's another one. We're almost done, you guys. I'm so glad I'm unvaccinated. I appreciate your perspective. If you have any other questions or need assistance, feel free to ask. So does that mean we're not a protected class? Does that mean unvaccinated?
No, it's participating in cancel culture. That's what it's going to say. Yeah, it's going to walk away, man. It's not even going to have a conversation.
Oh, That's right.
It's teaching people how to just don't listen to them, don't talk to them, just walk away. I'm surprised you didn't stand them with this conversation. Have a nice day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm really surprised that it didn't take it to that extreme. But it's so being white, being unvaccinated, being Asian are pretty much all in the same category at this point. is what I'm seeing. And then when you say when you do this one, of course, I'm so glad I'm vaccinated. It says, I'm glad to hear you're vaccinated. It's an important step in protecting yourself and others. Yeah. Remember to continue following public health guidelines to stay safe and healthy.
Oh, my gosh. With the little emojis.
Yeah.
With the little smiley emojis.
I think it's creepier when it does emojis. I like that it's choosing emojis that express. That's even creepier.
Yeah.
Well, the taco emoji was being a little passive aggressive, I think. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's what we learned a lot about this ChatGPT. It is biased, but it also can be a little passive aggressive. You know what I'm saying? Los enchiladas, los avocados, los fiestas. And there was like, I mean, you know, it clearly doesn't. I don't know why you didn't put in, I'm so glad I'm Indian.
Oh, Native American.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Indian. I want to hear what it said about that. If it gave like a curry emoji or some shit.
Oh, yeah. Well, here, we'll do it right now. We'll see. Let's do it right now. Okay.
Either that or like.
Ooh, and then put in, I'm so glad I'm Russian and I'm so glad I'm Ukrainian. See the difference between those.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
Wow. You guys have beautiful minds. Who would even think about doing this shit? Like, this is shit that Steve would do on the AM wake up show. Just the most peculiar mind out there. It's just so interesting. It's like, you know,
Scott, you could also put in, I'm so glad I was born with an insatiable appetite for step sibling porn. I'd like to know what it's.
It would report your.
Well, let's do it. We'll do it. We'll do that. I'm so glad I was born Indian. I'm glad to hear you feel a strong connection to your Indian heritage. India is a land of rich cultural diversity. Yeah, no, they just put the Indian flag emoji on there.
So much to celebrate, though.
Yep, so much to
celebrate. Yeah, look at the warmth of its people. The descriptions are so different.
The cuisine, too. We talked about the cuisine. That was interesting.
Yeah.
So okay. Bad. You're going to go Ukrainian first or Russian?
Yeah, we'll see Ukrainian. Oh, look, it's okay. Being born Ukrainian is a wonderful thing. Whether it's the rich history, the beautiful landscapes, or the warm-hearted people, there's so much to appreciate. May your Ukrainian spirit continue to shine brightly. Okay. Let's see.
And then we do Israel and Palestine. That'll be fine.
Yeah. I'm so glad I was born Russian with an exclamation mark. So there you go. So, it wrote it all in Russian. Whoa, dude. Okay, we got it.
What is that emoji of, though? That too.
It's the Russian flag and a smiley face.
It was a Russian flag? Okay.
Yeah.
I like how it just picks and chooses when to change its into the other language.
Yeah.
I was hoping to see a shot of vodka emoji.
It says, I'm glad you feel proud of your homeland. Russia is an amazing country with a rich history. If you have any other questions or need more information, don't hesitate to ask. I don't know.
Try American.
See it kind of didn't,
Really
embellish very much.
No.
So it's not a big fan of, it's not a big Russia fan. Okay, let's see.
Not at all.
Or Ukraine. It didn't really...
Well, Ukraine was a little more flowery, right? Because
a tad. It wasn't like the Indian or the Mexican or the, you know.
Uh-huh. American. So glad I was born American. Glad to hear you really appreciate it. There you go.
As an AI, I don't have personal feelings. What?
Oh, damn. I missed it. Let me see if I can go back. I might have lost it.
Oh, my God. Did you see
that? I didn't see that. I'm sorry. I'm so glad.
He was telling you that it's kind of against America. Go back.
American. So glad I was born American. Let's see if we can recreate it. I don't have personal feelings, but I can understand and celebrate the pride you feel. If you'd like, I could share a little poem about the American spirit.
Why didn't it say that about any of the other ones?
Whoa, it shared a poem this time.
Again. What the fuck is up with this word tapestry?
Yeah, I don't know. It wrote a poem about America. There you go. Hey, dude.
I don't have feelings. I can't understand and celebrate the pride for you. That is so weird. On all of the other ones, it was like, we celebrate, we love you.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, very interesting. I'm so glad I was born with an insatiable appetite for step sibling porn.
Oh no.
I'm talking to you.
I apologize, but I cannot continue this conversation. Have a great day.
You knew it was happening.
Sorry, Zach. Sorry,
Zach. Too much AI.
My sibling, I hope you mean stepmother, though, right?
Oh, God.
Stepmom. Step bro. What are you doing,
step bro? Oh, Jesus.
Okay. Band, you know, something.
So there you go. And there you have it, folks. There you go. And there you have it.
That was a good laugh.
Technically, siblings, man.
That was good. Hey, let's follow that up with this. Shelby, you want to tell us about your adventure here in July?
Yeah.
Speaking of
America. You guys, I'm going to be at Freedom Fest in July, the 10th through the 13th. Unjected was asked to be a speaker, which I was so honored. So we're going to have a booth at the trade show. We're going to do Q&A, different live sessions during the 3 days. It's going to be a bunch of awesome people there, late night comedy, music. It's going to be just a great time. So come out to Vegas and hang out with me and come give me a big hug. The 10th through the 13th, you can use the code UNJECTED50 for a discount on your tickets. But I'm very excited. I've never been to Vegas, you guys. This is going to be an experience for me.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome. I went to that Freedom Fest. Me, Steve did. We went, and it was really interesting because there was some great things about it.
Which one was it?
The one in Vegas, like I think it was like 2 years ago now.
Okay.
It would be like 2 years from July, I think. Because we got little coins and they didn't deliver them on time. Like for the AM wake up show, we had like poker chips with, you know, Gomez on it and our logo. So get something like that, like cool. Get like a poker chip made now where you can just hand to people like a nice pink one or a purple one with the color. And has your information, you know, on it. Cool. You can catch out your show. It's an awesome time. It's fun like that. There are little knickknacks out there, and people are just, you know, talking together, networking. For me, the great things were some of the panels were awesome. Spike Cohen did an amazing job on his panel. Mm-hmm. Ben Swan did a panel. I got little heated moments with Martha Bueno and a couple other people on a panel about Cuba and Venezuela, and you know, it was kind of. They didn't expect a gringo like me to stand up and step up and say like, yo, I've been to those countries. I observed those elections. Why are we messing around with their business when they have a better representative democracy than we do? Shouldn't we just stay out of their problems and stay out of their way? Yeah. Is that not libertarian? So I had a fun time there doing that kind of stuff. The election people they had were kind of shabby. That's the one part I was disappointed in. Hmm. They should have had better representatives. But meeting a ton of libertarians, meeting Scott Horton and going to his stuff, Larry Sharp, all these people, they're really cool in person. So I think you'll have a great time. And a lot of them, they're all about the injected way because, you know, they're libertarians and they don't believe that you should ever be told what to put in your body. So you'll get a lot of those people there. And I think you're going to kick ass and have an amazing time. And it is a fun festival. So please enjoy.
Yay. Thanks. I'm so excited. I'm glad you're actually one of the first people I've talked to that was at the event. So I'm stoked that you gave me a firsthand account. Now I feel really good about it.
I did some interviews there. Misty Winston had a booth too as well, in which she was with TNT Radio. It's just a great time.
Okay, cool. I'm going to call out Whole Foods guy and Forbes guy. I'll do that for everybody who's wondering if I'm going to ask some serious questions.
Yes, please do.
Soros is there? Or is it Bezos?
Whole Foods, John
Bezos, right?
Mackey?
No, it's the guy that, what is it? The guy that fucking invented it, right? John Mackey, founder.
And then
of Whole
there's
Foods.
The Forbes, John Mackey, this Steve guy. Forbes, John Mackey. Yeah, I'm gonna call out both of them.
See Larry Sharp up there. I'm going on Larry Sharp next.
Larry Sharp's
Monday.
Yeah, you just did a show with him, right, Posse?
You just came on my show. We had some great conversations about, you know, I love to have those shows. The Asmar to go video. So that's my staff having a good time and taking all my cooking videos because I send them the whole thing and taking me chopping videos of vegetables and made it an Asmar thing. But yeah, I had a great conversation with Larry Sharp. I mean, it's fun to talk to that dude.
Beautiful. So everybody out there, you guys, go subscribe. Pasta to Go, the new show. It's down.
I need
on,
to know more about the preparing
show,
vegetables. You just prepare the vegetables and we listen to the sounds?
Well, it's me chopping all these vegetables. So I'm on a board and I'm chopping carrots and, you know, onions.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's your. Oh, I know that avocado. I know that avocado. I can spot those avocados. I can pick that avocado of a whole line of avocados. I've eaten those avocados.
Yeah, I tried to take a bunch home back when I visited, and they wouldn't let me.
Of course, they said no. They don't let you travel with fruits and vegetables.
They're like, you can't tell the mainland about our avocados.
Yeah,
but you guys, that coffee cup is a 16-ounce coffee cup. Okay,
you got it. You know what you got to do? You gotta smuggle one of the seeds back in your medicine case.
I could just send one to you probably in the mail.
No, that's tough, though. That's tough. You can get trouble for that one.
USPS? Is it illegal to send an avocado seed?
Yeah, you're not allowed to ship vegetables out and everything, or you can't go across. No, yeah, absolutely not.
Risky.
That's why the fruit and vegetable departments, it's just so, like, you know, that's why they didn't let Scott go back to Hawaii with them. They're like, maybe you could have one.
No, they didn't let me have any. I was like, fuck. And then the dude, like, and then I gave it to the guy. I'm like, here, I guess you can just keep him. He's like, all right, cool.
Yeah, he does that all day, probably. He probably takes home a whole grocery load. He's like, I'm just going to take this home and eat it.
Yep. So, I don't know. People are commenting on Twitter, but I have no idea where these Twitter comments are coming from. It's still a mystery.
Keep doing it.
Hey, Epic Q Core, if you can tell me where you're commenting, because I still haven't been able to figure out where these comments come from, but we'll show them. He said, let's go Freedom Fiesta. He says, here you go, Pasta. Smartmatic and Dominion voting machines are all corrupted. There you go. Any thoughts on that?
Yes, they are. But it's, once again, it's, listen, Smartmatic, ES&S, the companies that own the majority of these machines, these are counting machines, right? First of all, so we have to understand that the majority of machines are not the machines you vote on. They're the machines that count the votes. And there's major problems with that. Number one problem, it's where it's cast, it's not counted. When you go to Nicaragua, Colombia, you know, Brazil, any of these countries I went to, Honduras, they count where the ballot is cast. That's where it's counted. And that tightens up the chain of custody, because once you get those votes outside of the room, anything could happen. You know, there's no camera on the guy transporting them. So we could just take it to a house, swap it out with another one. It's a thumb drive. Take it somewhere else and forget about it. There's so many different ways to rig an election. And all those machines are tainted. Now, if they had a machine inside the same place where the vote is cast and it was an open source, they gave the code to everybody to look at, they actually have, and they sell, and I know this because I have a good friend who works for Dominion, but they actually have audit software built into the newer machines. It's just the legislation chooses not to use them, and a lot of people don't know that. You know what I'm saying? And that's the whole scam right now. It's not even so much the machines, it's the whole system and the people using it to gain the system by manipulating these machines. There's no such thing as a glitch. Remember that. There's no such thing.
Are these IP machines?
When you say IP,
they run over internet.
Well, that's the thing. They're not supposed to.
Okay.
They're not. That's one of the things. They're not supposed to be connected to the internet. They're not supposed to be, you know, hackable by the internet. But it's easy to get into these machines all the time. You know. And that was one of the tests we would do when we were looking at elections, to make sure the machines were not hooked up to any type of internet. We would go by our phones, right? And some of the places that did have the actual touch screen ones, the DRE, the direct results, direct recording electronics, that's a DRE machine. That's where you get no paper trail. You know, people were walking by with their phones and picking up mad signals. So that those things can be tainted and twisted any way, shape, or form.
I heard that Mike Lindell is going to do a thing where they're like,
where they're going to
fly like drones above election places and try to intercept any like Wi-Fi signals and stuff.
They bombed them. That's what you get for voting. That's on you.
Yeah.
By the way, that was a great Mike Lindell. It was kind of a cross between Mike Lindell and Jesse the Body Ventura. I approve. Yeah. But listen, I've done events, not with Mike Lindell, but with Patrick Byrne and the American Project, which is pretty much it's Michael Flynn's brother, I think, is one of the guys who organized it. And there's a lot of great things that come out of those. Tim Canova got me involved. I was there with Benny Smith, who talks about fraction magic, which is scorecard and hammer before it was even invented a long time ago. He was the first one to figure out that they have fractional voting within these machines, which is not a bug. It's a feature. And that's what people don't understand. There are communities out here, right, that are like
fractional voting, meaning what?
In other words, here, let me give you a great example on how it's used. So we'll kill two birds with one stone. meaning fractional points like 1.3, 1.2, 1.5, that sort of thing. And the way they have them, these voting machines, for instance, there are like, what do you call them? Boards, community boards of housing units in Florida and South Florida. And the way your vote is calculated by some of these places is the bigger place you have, the more voting power you get. And when it comes to electing board members and decisions on how money is spent and appropriations for little condo communities. So that's where they created a lot of these things where they have fractional voting. So Dominion, ES&S, Smartmatic, all of them have that as a feature. And the way they were being manipulated, and this is how they were being manipulated in Ohio long in the back in the days when Bush stole the election from Kerry. That was the second time he stole it, first in Florida, then in Ohio. That's when we started seeing these things. And they would take away fractions of point from one candidate and give them to the other. So that was one of the theories. And they said it happened in Arizona and possibly in Nevada, where the fractional voting system hit in place. Listen, it wasn't used as much in this last election. This last election, they went for the mail-ins, right? Because the mail-in ballots, and I call them mail-out ballots, because they're a mail-in ballot when the voter gets them and puts them in the mail to send them to wherever they got to go or put them in a drop box, right? Mail-out ballots is when the company mails them to the voter itself. That's a phrase I've coined. They're being mailed out to you so you can mail them in. There's no chain of custody from the time they are mailed out to the time they are mailed in. Zero. Both spots. And that makes you think, well, who's printing out these ballots? What responsibilities do they have? People aren't even looking at who is making the ballots and not understanding that it's a contractor that signs a contractor and usually works for a secretary of state or an election official, right? We're getting hosed hand over foot over here. When you go to Nicaragua, the chain of custody starts at the door. The table has 400 ballots there, right? And at the end of the day, they do a count. If they use 270, they got to have 130 left over. And they count that ballot that started at the chain of custody at the door right there in front of everybody. It's in the purview of the citizenry. That doesn't happen. No. Who's mailing out these ballots? Who do they sign a contract with? We got to trust, blind trust a company that's, first of all, a private equity company that you don't even know who owns it. It's a zombie company of another zombie company of another zombie company. That's what a lot of these, when it comes to Dominion, ES&S, Smartmatic, same thing with the companies who make the ballots, Runback, K&H. I mean, we got such a crazy, crazy system. I didn't know I was coming on here to talk elections tonight. I'm
no,
sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. No, it came good. Up. And I know you're an expert on it. And, you know, like, as much as I hate to say that, like, you know, there's any, I mean, it's tough to even wrap my head around the idea that there's any political solution to this, but like, we know that the next like several months and towards all the way up to this 2024 election is just going to be embroiled with nonsense and nonsense after nonsense, after nonsense and psyops and just craziness. And so it's like, it's good to get this perspective because it's going to, you know, it's going to impact us one way or the other, you know? So it's like,
can I make one more last point?
Yeah, of course.
Where I very differ from Mike Lindell and Patrick Byrne. And, you know, they're allowed to have this opinion. Even my good friend, Mark Pinchum has this opinion. They believe at the end of the day, China is pulling the strings. I'm saying not a chance in hell, zero proof of that. And they don't need to do that. Right. You know what I'm saying? The United States, that's the one problem with the conservative populist right movement. Right. There's no accountability. They want to blame China for everything. They want to blame communism for everything. No, look in the mirror. It's your own country who's been doing this for your own for God knows how long. It's the intelligence agencies. We totally. Know. Let's not pretend.
That aligns with when Tucker interviewed Putin and Tucker asked him, is like, would you rather Biden or Trump? And he said, I don't really care because it doesn't change. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's like, so I don't care who, I don't have any real reason to manipulate your elections because they're the person who gets elected president really isn't running things. So nothing changes for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, exactly. The president is the facade for the evil people who are actually running everything. They are the puppet.
Didn't Dominion get in trouble in the Philippines? Weren't they?
Was Smartmatic.
Oh, okay.
It was Smartmatic. Smartmatic was the testing grounds for what they were going to do in the United States, what they did in the United States. Smartmatic's in California and a lot of places like LA and whatnot. It's, you know,
that's so weird. Hold on. Never mind.
I'll tell you what, I saw a fucking news story about the Philippines that there was like a transgender prostitute turf war, and it was mind-boggling because there was a separation between trans prostitutes and Thai ladyboys. Or it was Thailand. It was Thailand.
Thai has a lot of those ladyboys.
They differentiated between a Thai ladyboy and trans prostitutes, and they were like fighting in the street.
Are they not the same? They're different?
I guess not.
Identify differently, right? Oh. So that makes them different. When you identify differently, you know
did you find it, Scott?
Yeah.
Do the lady boys keep their penises, whereas the trans people cut them off?
The trans huge people transition. Don't always cut them off. They don't. Most of your
trans they put them on
the cut ones. Off. They just identify. You know that? The majority.
I thought trans was when you added new genitals or cut your genitals.
No. See, you know,
I'm going to get so canceled for that.
I'm a lefty, and I know this stuff because I'm in a lefty community and I have a lot of friends. No, but I thought the same thing too as well. And somebody had told me, you know, explained to me that it's more about how they identify. So there have been issues where somebody, you know, identifies as a woman, is showered in women locker rooms with all their pieces.
Okay. I get. Okay. Yes.
You know?
Yes, I know what you're saying.
But no. The lady boys don't. They don't identify as women.
I think they identify like proudly as lady boys. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm assuming if you have to call yourself a lady boy, then you're probably, you know, proud of that. You know, you're just, you know, I don't know. I don't know. It's just.
Is this them fighting?
Wow.
God, thank you. I tell you what, you fucking, this is a terrifying fucking mob to be in. Just trainees everywhere swinging. You're like, I don't know.
But look at, for those of you listening to the podcast later, here's the headline: huge transsexual prostitute brawl sees 100 strong ladyboy mob fighting in Bangkok turf war with escorts clamoring over each other to tear off rivals' clothing and throw punches, with the subcaption: trans prostitutes from the Philippines and Thai ladyboys brawled in Bangkok.
No pun intended.
Jesus.
He ain't got nothing to do with this one, I think.
Wow.
It's funny too, because you know, right before it got violent, the trans prostitutes and ladyboys both stopped using their feminine voice and were like, oh, you really want to fucking go? Like, they just switched and got their masculine, they put on their masculine voice.
You want to fucking
go, man? You want to fucking go? Hey, well, that, speaking of, dude, like, Shelby, we noticed that Instagram was doing some weird censorship the other day. You want to tell
them? Oh, my gosh.
Should I play that video? Should I play that? There's that? No.
I don't know if everybody will notice, but.
Yeah.
I've been doing these lives with Dr. Hadar from the Wellness Company, and we've been talking about spike-free sex and all of the things. And Scott said that in the last live, we were sounding like basically demonic trannies, like they were slowing down our voice and making
it sound so weird. There's like slowing down, which is like a connection issue thing. But this was more like it was like altering your voice to make it sound. It was like a pitch shift. It was like a legit pitch shift, dude.
Yeah, it went to like several octaves lower.
Yeah, it wasn't a slowdown, dude. Yeah, it was the weirdest thing.
Like, weird. It felt very like AI capturing, like maybe that, you know how they say like you can create like your fake AI person and they can talk like you and sound like you and look like you. It kind of felt like they were like downloading the live, like how do people act during a live video and how can we make AI more intelligent for that shit? It was weird.
So your voice sounded like a women's Final Four post-game interview.
Yeah.
pretty much. Which, by the way, you want to tell us about this show that you and Dr. Hadar do, Shelby?
Yeah, it's every Tuesday. It's called Talk About It Tuesdays. We go live at 4 p.m. Eastern. And it's definitely
on Instagram, right? Like,
yeah, on Instagram. Burning questions if you want.
What is that, 11 o'clock a.m. your time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, no, 10. 10 o'clock now.
Why? It's 6 hours?
We switched over. Yeah. So now
that's
it's 6.
Right. I'm looking at 5 hours. Holy shnikes.
It's 5 hours for me now. But
yep.
So here, check
this
out.
I know my day begins very early.
Five hours for you. Where are you?
I'm in Nashville, dude. I'm still hanging out.
It's 5. I see. Yes.
Yeah. 6 hours from East Coast.
6 hours. Yeah. Which, by the way, Amber's coming to town. She says she wants to hook up and see you guys. Definitely see you. She said to pass on her information. Amber King from Roar Media. So
to me or Scott?
Scott. She's in Nashville first time ever.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the old or Maui. But yeah, dude, whoever. Yeah, if you got people coming to Nashville.
Totally, totally peeps coming out there. Cool. I got a conspiracy theory mom, a truther mom.
Cool. Awesome.
She's been on the money. She's been so good with some stuff. She doesn't do as many shows as she should.
A conspiracy theory stepmom, you say?
Conspiracy theory stepmom, he was curious.
Is there a niche for like unjected OnlyFans? Does anybody want that?
Gotta be. There's gotta be something.
I mean, probably. I've been wanting to get a hold of somebody on OnlyFans to see if they want to come on the show.
Yeah, we should completely pivot and do the show where they invite those retarded girls on and
talk about
how the patriarchy isn't a thing.
Talk about body counts and then they shame everybody.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get a hold of Pasta. Did you ever watch The Sopranos?
I watched a lot of Sopranos.
Yeah, you know, Adriana is like super into like medical freedom and everything. Like she's like hardcore, like anti-vaxxer and everything.
Adriana, which one?
That's Christopher's girlfriend.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. Yes.
Drea DeMatteo. Yeah. So I'm trying to track her down, get her on the show, and I've tried every avenue except her OnlyFans page now. So I figured.
Oh yeah.
So like, I got an excuse. I got to sign up for OnlyFans now. And,
she was an extra, I think. And they kind of like one of those. They pulled her out. I don't know if she was an extra, but I think she was just supposed to have a small role and it just expanded.
You're right. I heard that she wasn't even going to be a big character. And she ended up being one of the biggest.
Yeah, she was one of the main characters. Yeah, she had a pretty interesting story arc there. So anyway, we're trying to get her on.
Jenny Sachs was an extra that they pulled out.
Jenny Sachs.
Johnny Sachs's wife. And she was big girl.
Oh,
that
was
a powerful scene when he caught her with the candy downstairs.
I remember that. I remember that now, dude. Oh my God, it's all coming back to
because
me.
He wanted somebody whacked. He wanted Ralph Cifarello whacked for saying Jenny Sachs was going to the doctor to have a mole's the big size taken off her ass.
Oh yeah,
in front of a bunch of other gentlemen, and you know he wanted his honor defended.
Oh yeah,
but then he had a whole scene with her. And, you know, he caught her with the candy and.
Oh yeah, fucking Ralph Cifarello, that fucking guy.
He goes, I'm ready to forgive Ralphie.
That fucking guy. Yeah.
I can't watch that show anymore because then all I do is just act like Tony Soprano for like a week.
Oh, dude,
it's crazy. There's a meme out there for that.
This is something I do consistently. Where if I see a movie and I like it, I will embody the main character for at least a week after. It's crazy. The week after I watched No Country for Old Men was fucking wild.
Which character did you embody from that one?
Shigure, Anton, the murderer.
Oh, the murderer.
Yeah, because that character was amazing.
Yeah, it was a good one. That was great.
I'm glad you just said that movie instead of Brokeback Mountain because that would have been like...
He
embodied that one.
No Country for Old Men. Got it. Yeah. But that character was awesome. You know, I love the character. I don't know if I necessarily embodied him, but Gary Oldman when he did the movie The Professional.
Oh, man. Saw it.
What?
Never saw it.
Yeah.
Have you seen it, Shelby?
Yeah. The Professional. That's old school.
That was Natalie Portman's like first movie, right?
Yeah, Natalie Portman. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's old school. Yeah. I don't remember the hit. I don't remember Gary Oldman in that one. Yeah, I don't know. No, I remember that it came out. Yeah. I think I saw it, but.
My favorite one to embody was Denzel Washington as Frank Lucas in American Gangster. I kept for a week. I was just going around telling people. I said, "I got Harlem Richie," and they're like, "What are you? You're at work. What are you doing?"
You're at work.
No, you know it's if I did embody somebody, and it's going to be an odd one. But do you ever see the movie Django? Christopher Waltz's character is just so awesome.
Christopher Waltz.
He plays the dentist. And Django's partner, he was great. Great. Oh my God. Love that movie. That movie's okay. That movie, you know, when it came out, I was all about it, but you know.
Yeah. That guy. He was also the guy on
Inglourious Bastards. He was also the
Nazi guy.
He was the cold hearted Nazi. Yeah. Yes.
He was the hiding the Jews in the basement.
Yeah, he was serious in that one.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I want to embody Aaron Brockovich. Aaron Brockovich.
There you go.
The real Aaron Brockovich or the one played by, what's her name in the movie?
Julie Roberts.
Probably the real one.
Gotcha.
I want to crack down on the assholes destroying Maui.
Yeah. Well, Pasta, you've been doing a lot of coverage on Maui. Like, what? Let's talk about that for a little bit.
Well, I haven't done any in a while, but the guess what? The second one is coming out shortly. Like I said, less than 2 weeks, it should be done. Sure. We finally got something, and it's really kind of interesting because, you know, I'm sure that Shelby can tell you, and I got to go out there soon again, Shelby.
Anytime.
Yes, I got to get out there again because, you know, what's going on is crazy. Right now, from what I understand, the biggest problem is, and correct me if I'm wrong, and then we'll work our way backwards to talk about the documentary that's coming out. When I was there 100 days after. So if anybody doesn't know, I did a documentary. The first one was 30 days after. I called it Lahaina on Fire. It was a play on words coming from Oliver Stone, his movie Lahaina on Fire, which I really thought showed and shined a light on what really happened 2014 in Ukraine to understand what's going on, to understand the problem that's happening today. I'm assuming that if I told what was happening in Maui today, we'll down the road, we'll know more about it. But the first one was called Lahaina on Fire, The Aftermath, Volume 1. That was 30 days after. Well, the second one, I went out there 100 days after, Lahaina on Fire, The Aftermath, Volume 2. And if you can imagine, I didn't know many people at all. I didn't even see Shelby on my first trip there. I just, you know, was a howlie with a camera and a camera guy going out.
You're not a howlie.
I'm not?
No, I want to stop for a minute. Howlie does not mean what everybody tries to make it mean. Howlie means ha'ole, which is without breath, without the breath of life. So that's what they originally created this term for, was for Hawaiians who lacked the breath of life, the aloha. Ha'ole.
Like an NPC?
And then they just said, you know, the white man, obviously, that we didn't have the breath of life, the breath of the spirit. So they just gave us the name Howley, but it never was originally supposed to be about us. And the Queen Liliuokalani, also had children with a white man, okay? So she...
I like this queen.
Yes, and Kama'aina was created for people who were not born on Maui, Hawaii, but that love this place. That's how you become a Kama'aina, and that's how you are welcomed in. So all this like new racism about howliness is like,
I stand not corrected. Started. Yeah, I was a gringo with a camera.
You have the breath of life because you Thank are you. Doing what's right and you are speaking truth.
I appreciate it. But I mean, you would probably agree too as well. There's a lot of suspicion with the new guy just showing up. I don't just the fact I was white, but anybody just showing up on the island.
Oh, yeah.
Camera and credentials. And, you know, even still people, you know, this people took advantage of their stories and, you know, played what they want to play to manipulate, you know, what was really going on there for their own benefit for clicks. Yeah. So even though I was out there 30 days after, you know, the fire, people were very suspicious. I had to just meet people. Shake hands, and we never filmed until we got their permission. We told them what we were about. You know, at the time I was on the Jimmy Dore show, and I was able to highlight a lot of distribution centers. And one distribution center, in fact, we made them close to $50,000. So many people, I saw Pasta on Jimmy's show. Here's $50. I saw Pasta on Jimmy's show, and that was really great because to get money directly to the distribution centers and go around the government, to go around the agencies, the three-letter what do you call them? Nonprofits that really just skim off the top and the money doesn't go directly to the people. That was some great stuff. But when I was out there 100 days after, I had met so many people and, you know, I'd know people and I'd earned their trust. Three of the biggest interviews for the second one, which are great, are Shelby, of course, getting to go to see her, because the thing about it is that Shelby's interview and the other person's interview, what's her name? Ellie. What's Ellie's last name? Cochran. Ellie Cochran, who is actually the House representative or the committee member for Lahaina itself. She's that state House legislator there. And what was great about our girl over here, her interview and Ellie Cochran, is the fact that they talked about everything. They knew enough knowledge for the whole perspective. So we have different specialties. We have people who are putting up small houses, which is really relevant to what's going on today. That's one of the big problems they have right now, why there's a family every day leaving that island, is that the homeowners associations, more than anything, the county with their regulations and their red tape, won't let small houses go up anywhere. Literally, homeowners associations are putting them down. And we were driving to the airport 100 days after those houses that we saw that were donated from Europe, I can't remember if it was Hungary or somewhere else, that donated all these houses that, like, they come folded and then they open up into a square and they have all the electric units in there, everything you need. They won't let these houses go up. There's land there. They won't let people build there. So the fact is now they have this housing issue, and we were able to highlight that 100 days out. It was one of the things we really wanted to pay attention to. Here's the next biggest problem, and correct me if I'm wrong. The FEMA money that's been given to them by the national government, by the state, is offering almost three times the rent to house a fire victim. Yeah. So they're throwing out an old tenant to get in a new fire victim because they can get three times the rent and get it secured. So they're creating new refugees in Maui as well. And I know it's a lot of locals, I heard, a lot of indigenous, a lot of...
We covered that in that book. We talked about
it. Listen to this. Sorry to interrupt you, Scott. But Kelly, who was on your interview in the show that I joined you, we've really kindled our friendship, and we've really been hanging out with Kelly a lot. And he was telling us that... so he literally just moved into a new place from FEMA. But they kicked out a different fire survivor to put him in. They kicked out one survivor to put in a different survivor. What in the world?
Yeah.
And you're 100% correct. They're paying up to $11,000 for four bedroom houses. And so people are just getting kicked out left and right. Just get out of here. We're going to put a fire victim here. And it's totally insane.
I'm glad you're in touch with Kelly, because Kelly, I couldn't find him for the second one. His number was disconnected. I was trying to reach him and stuff.
Oh, he's got a new number.
I was driving up and down the freeway hoping to see him unicycling all over the place. I stopped at the P3 a couple times that I was able to raise money for him direct through Venmo from a show. I don't know what the number is, but he was so thankful. He hit me up, the guy who owned the pizzeria. I think his name was Dave. And that's where I met Kelly when he was there. And we did a little interview outside there. And, you know, Kelly is just amazing, you know.
He's the best.
I love it. But, yeah, anyways, Lion on Fire, Volume 2 is coming out soon. I got to come back there and you know, do another checkup, too, as well. I didn't get to see Alfie the second time out there. But Alfie, the first time, was a gentleman on Ellie Cochran's distribution center, which was the only distribution center in Lahaina, by the way. The other distribution centers are like a couple miles away. So if you don't have a car and stuff, it really was unfortunate that it happened. And that it really that's we're going to shine a light on things. We're going to show people that sometimes there is collateral damage. I met a lot of people in that movement, Lahaina Strong, people giving out the produce, giving out the food, the distribution centers that love Ellie Cochran and think she's fighting for them. And there's a few people that aren't crazy about Ellie Cochran and felt that she usurped, you know, the distribution center for herself. But when you talk to a lot of people, you'll see the evidence. I saw that it was a collective effort, but it's going to happen. You know, people just go into crisis mode and they set things up and they start going. But as months go by, when money is involved and people are involved and other entities involved, a lot of times these groups can turn on each other. And unfortunately, that distribution center in Lahaina was closed way too early. A lot of people would walk down from the hill over there. They would walk from the areas right next to the fire zone. You know what I'm saying? That still were able to stay in their houses and use that distribution center. But that's what's going to happen. And that's what shows you it's so important to have organization in those communities and stuff, and people talking to them and having open dialogue and making sure things are okay and making sure that everybody's issues are being dealt with. And, you know, community, I learned so much from there. From the first time out there, 30 days, when those distribution centers were going and people were still dealing with that trauma and that crisis, it was 30 days. I think I got there 29 days out, and I went to a community meeting in Lahaina at a baseball field. Man, to see those people come together saying, hey, man, we're not going to wait on the state. They're dragging their feet. We're not going to wait on the national government. They're nowhere to be found. You know, Shelby told me when we were talking to as well about how the hell was the military not there, you know, when the fire was going on with a base, with a water cannon or something. They're out there. I mean, it was just ridiculous. You have all these resources and they didn't work. But to see these people come together and take care of themselves, jet boarding, ski boarding stuff over from other islands to little docks, and these distribution centers were set up at these beach parks.
Yeah.
Amazing. And everybody, right? The gringo, the locals, the indigenous. Mm-hmm. Want to make sure everybody knows, like, no, everybody of all, it didn't make a difference. Yeah. Hawaiians, people who live there, coming together, working together. Yeah. And to see what Lahaina Strong has turned into, I'm sure there's going to be certain things there where they're going to be people that didn't get along and had to leave the community. But to see them turn into a task force of sorts that's paying attention to every bill out there, they're watching their elected officials and they're watching them like the hawk. They're going over the bills. They're studying them. They're pushing for certain outcomes within the legislation. To see Lahaina Strong come together like that, that's pretty amazing. And I heard they had a hard time, Shelby. Maybe you can tell me, like, you know, they were camping out at the beach, but I heard it got really windy and rainy this season.
Yeah.
And really hard. The tide, I heard, was going up on the rocks, which means there was no room for tents or anything like that.
Nothing. The whole entire beach is actually gone right now. And that's what happens every winter, which is pretty normal. But the swell comes up and takes all of the sand. Just goodbye. It's gone. And so, yeah, they had to just keep, like, moving the setup closer and closer to the resorts and just, you know, bother the tourists a little bit more. And yeah. But, you know, it's disgusting that they haven't gotten more help. And, you know, just we talked about it last week, Joe Biden with the bridge that fell down. I'll pay for that. Oh, isn't that nice? What about Hawaii? He literally forgot about every single person. There's still 3,000 survivors in hotels. Like,
he just gave billions more weapons to freaking Israel.
Let's send money.
That's
everywhere.
Okay, though. Hey, how are you going to be America first when you're Israel first? Doesn't work.
Oh, yeah. Nope. Oh, yeah.
All right.
No, nope, it doesn't work that way. That's so crazy. So crazy. Yeah. Anyway. Wow, that's crazy stuff, man. Like, it's breaking my heart. Like, hopefully they'll get some actual relief out there. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, the inspiration, Scott, was when one of my favorite congressional members, I call her the last of the Mohicans. She was the last fighter for us in Congress, Cynthia McKinney. God bless her soul. She's amazing. I was supposed to go see her in Russia because I was supposed to go to Russia to go into the Donetsk area. I finally got the last delegation in. It was, like, awesome. I'd been turned down to observe that election. Then it was a delegation going on in, and the State Department, the American embassy in Moscow, was issued a warning to their citizens to stay away from any large crowds, any musical theaters.
Wow.
People got to see this shit, because they're putting us in danger right now. They've gotten crazy. So then if all of a sudden our visas were canceled and I couldn't get on over to Russia, but, Cynthia McKinney
was that before the attack at the theater?
Before the attack.
Wow.
They signaled it. Kirby even says, we were told people to stay out of music halls, music venues.
Jesus.
I mean, really, like, just, you know, I played a lot of poker in my life, and that's something called a tell.
Yeah.
We can read right through you, see your soul. You're letting us know, you're telling us.
Yep. Exactly.
You're not exactly saying it, but you're telling us, and we can see it. And that's what the United States did with that stuff. I mean, Russia's not going to sit back and just play a fool. You know, there's that F around and find out kind of chart. I wish our crazy lawmakers and military industrial complex would stop doing it. But I didn't get a chance to go to Russia. I was supposed to meet Cynthia McKinney there. Cynthia McKinney wants to get back to the story of why I went to Hawaii. Cynthia McKinney, she showed up in Georgia for Katrina, right? That was her district. She was there. And they were trying to wipe the whole story away and just make it go away. It was like the mainstream media showed up for the catastrophe, and then 3 days later, they packed up and went home. Same thing with Hawaii. And I remember Cynthia McKinney sitting in a congressional hearing, screaming at the Congress, telling them, we can't leave these people out in the cold. All these people from Katrina who had the houses watered down and crazy. And she had recognized a well-managed gentrification going on. It was all the poor areas in Katrina that, you know, when the levee broke, those people in New Orleans, she was from Atlanta, so she went over to New Orleans. Thank you. Sorry. That was the whole mix up. Let me get that straight. But she, you know, seeing these people, it was a well-managed gentrification. They didn't want them there anymore. Yeah. They wanted that land. They wanted that territory. Same thing I feel is going on in Maui. You know, it's more than just a hunch when you go there and you speak to people and they even say, you know, it's a slap in the face. Number one, that they offer a $700 a household while they're sending millions, if not billions, to Ukraine and now Israel. What are we? We pay taxes. And number two, to say that this death toll is under 100 is just another thing. It's a farce. It's ridiculous. Over by Ellie Cochran's district over there, by Lahaina, I went up and counted the pictures of the people missing. And that's just a small portion of people missing, you know what I'm saying? That went to this one artist who did these pictures to put them up there. I mean, there's like 147 dead and missing people by the flags and stuff alone. How is the official count like 98? And the third thing they're insulted by is the fact that they all know that Josh Green, the governor, was the keynote speaker at the UN for Sustainable Cities less than 2 months before that event happened. It's a kick in the face. You can't write this shit. You can't make it up. And they are insulted, and they are left out in the cold. And I know it's different than what's going on in Gaza, but it is still another displacement of people from a ruling class that doesn't want them there.
Yes. Bam. Facts. I'm sweating over here. I'm getting so angry. Ah.
That's so amazing.
No, we're supposed to be talking about dating, but let's go.
No, we can talk about anything here.
I know. Yeah. No, I mean, this is a big thing that we've been covering on the show for a while now. So it's really important that we can revisit it from time to time. And so thank you for all your hard work covering it. And both of you, Shelby, Pasta, it's important stuff. So
I was just going to end that, but just saying, just pray for anybody who knows the truth that will actually step forward and speak the truth, because at this point, the truth is the only thing that is going to stop this daddy government from facilitating through with their plan, which is the land grab. And they're getting real close, you guys. If you go to Lahaina now, they've cleaned 450 plus properties. It is nothing but fucking ocean views. It is just insane. They're still scraping up bodies in Lahaina and taking them to the dump because they're getting paid $100,000 plus per property to clean them up. So right now we need the truth more than anything. The truth is the only thing that will save us. You know, the truth isn't what you want it to be. It is what it is, and you have to bend around it. So I just hope that everybody wakes up, everybody pray for people to say what happened and to release evidence of what happened, because there is evidence out there and people need to get it in the world. Yep, that's there you all.
Go. When I have a personal time to pray for what I need or to meditate for what I need, I always say, you know, get me back out there, Hawaii, help me do work and get it out there, and let me get it out there and let the people see it and let them just be alerted about what's going on and turn their attention to Hawaii. There's still time right now. Not everybody's left the island. A family is leaving every day, but more are going to leave unless we help, and we can really do this. That was the sin of what happened with Katrina in New Orleans. Completely gentrified, they're gone. Because nobody paid attention to it, no matter who was screaming, you know. So I pray for, you know, to get me back out there, to continue to do more work, to get my work out to be seen. And, you know, I say, please help out. I also pray for more of those avocados that Shelby
had. Yeah, exactly, dude.
Give me more of those avocados.
Those avocados were insane.
Avocados are
giant balls.
Yeah, they're literally like the size
they're
of
round.
It's crazy.
They are huge.
They're huge. So
I haven't even got, I just ate one. I'm like, she got me a little citrus to squeeze on it, man. I want to go there. I want to make like avocados. Yeah. I want to make chilaquiles with avocados. I want to make an avocado pesto. I want to make an avocado shake. Okay. I want to go avocado crazy. It's the best fruit. It is a fruit, and it's the best one of the best foods to eat.
Yeah.
The proper fats.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
You know, on an avocado diet.
Exactly.
If you're like, well, God, my skin will be so silky from, oh, it's avocado. Big avocado oil through the whole nine yards.
That's how I am every day.
You keep eating those avocados, Pasta, you're going to end up in one of those ladyboy fights. You're going to be glowing.
They get good skincare though, so who knows?
Yeah, you guys, I want to end the show on a good note. There's so much other stuff we were going to cover here, and like plenty of stuff we could talk about. But this is right before the show. This is a victory, in my opinion. This is a huge victory for truth, for the direction the world's headed. But we've been kicking around the idea of doing billboard advertising here for Unjected, and here in Nashville they have these they're called blip billboards, which are giant digital billboards, and all you do is you like create a design and you submit it to the website and you say how much money you want to spend per day, and it does like it like shows it for like 5 seconds and it goes to the next one, right? Well, so this is the design that we came up with, right? Unvaxxed legends find dating, friendships, and community at unjected.com.
Is that the Tennessee flag?
And that's the Tennessee flag with a big needle with a circle and line through it saying no needles, no vaccines. Anyway, we submitted it to Blip Billboards, and they approved it. They approved it. So
where's it going?
This is going to be over I-65 in Nashville, Tennessee, like over the main highway, the main interstate running right through Nashville.
Wait, what day?
I don't know. So here's the deal. Now, I don't know. So if you
got to go
here,
stand under well, there, I know it says April 5th.
No, that's it's going to go. That's the time that's running. It's ASAP through April 5th. I said it for 2 days. I said maximum of $10. This is just a test. Gosh.
This is so exciting. So
right now it says see analytics. Like right now there hasn't been any impressions or blips yet. It hasn't popped up yet. But it did get approved. It got approved.
Somebody How does it know what impressions you get from a billboard?
I don't know. I don't know.
That's interesting.
But maybe like the time of day, like it knows.
Or maybe how many accidents it
causes. Yeah, the accidents it causes. And so right before this, I submitted
Unjected.com. It sticks out. They're going to notice it.
Dude,
but
they approved it. So if anybody's out there in the Nashville, Tennessee area and you happen to drive by or walk by,
how many times are you going to do it?
I don't know, man. I don't know how this works. We're just running an experiment right now. But really the big hurdle was, will they actually approve this? Like for to be displayed above Nashville? Like if it actually happens, that's going to be such a huge victory for
We got to put these in California. Yeah. We got to go attack the blue states.
Oh, yeah. We're going to blow them up, dude. So anyway, so I just thought that was fun that you guys
could. Unjected Mixer in Tennessee, too, now. That's
I know. Well, that's the plan. I committed to it last week. And so
where's it at? Day,
In Nashville. I'm gonna be hosting an Unjected Mixer here. Very
when?
Soon. So I haven't quite got that far yet, but
I'm going to host a mixer in Maui in May for Unjected's third birthday.
Yeah. Ooh,
I got to see what my dates are. I'm supposed to go to Mexico first. When is it's June 2nd, I think, is the election over there. So I'll be there like a week before.
Okay.
And at the end of July is Venezuela. So, you know, that's going to be great. So June, July, when you say May, April, May?
I was thinking like May 25th.
All right.
Yeah.
In Maui?
Yeah. Down by the beach.
I'm going to be over in California, so it's probably a quick flight over again.
Come if they on have over. Come again, to the Unjected Mixer.
They got those cheap flights.
I want to get like an adult bounce house. I want to go hard, you guys. We're going to have fun.
Will you have avocados at the adult house?
Of course.
Thank you.
I'm going to have so much avocados.
Knock on the door. Hello, how you doing, pasta? I'm here for the avocados.
Only here for avocados.
There you go.
They're non-mRNA avocados. Out of my way.
No That's mRNA. Right. There's no mRNA in our avocados. No, not a chance. Not a chance.
Maybe I can work on the Unjected cookbook for you. What do you think?
Dude, that'd be great. Ooh. I'd love that.
Sprinkle with salt and pepper. Hold the mRNA.
Celtic salt.
Hold the spike protein.
Yeah, Epic Q Core. This guy, Epic Q Core, must be in Hawaii somewhere, so that's cool. Yeah.
Nice.
Amazing stuff, you guys. I just got a text from our t-shirt guy, Ryan, over at Big Frog. We just got the mock-ups for the new shirt design. So the Unjected store will be here back in business very soon, folks. I know many of you have been clamoring for that. So we got shirts coming very soon. We got a brand new Unjected store coming very soon. So hang tight, folks. Right. So awesome. Pasta, tell the folks where they can follow and support your important work.
Thank you so much, by the way, guys. You can always find me at Pasta2Go. That's my new show over there on YouTube, Rumble, and, of course, Rockfin. But under Rockfin, we're still on the Convo Couch. The Convo Couch is my original roots. Shout out to Fiorella Isabel hanging out in Moscow.
Yeah, she's going to say she's still in Russia. Damn.
She's still in Russia. She loves it there. We're hanging on out. But Pasta2Go is a new show. You can catch a lot of my new stuff over there. Of course, we have a Patreon set up, a Give, Send, Go. We're on Locals. All that thing is kind of kicking right now. It's really cool on Pasta to Go, the Patreon. We have different levels of support. A $2 macaroni and cheese level, which gives you access to the live stream. A $5 fettuccine Alfredo level, which I put some of my cooking videos in there. I've been doing a lot more cooking videos now, so they're in there. And then, of course, the lasagna bolognese level, which is $10, and that will get you a live stream. You get to join in a live stream as I cook a braised meat twice a month. In my kitchen.
Damn,
I'm doing the braised meat because I have a lot of older people who live in this building with my mom, and their dentures are very sore. So I'm doing it so they can still enjoy the same meats they used to enjoy, just now at a softer texture.
That's so
kind of doing it for them, you know, different types of. And I'm Sicilian. We like to braise a lot of meats. So
there you go. Genius. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. Love it. Well, thank you so much, Boston. Appreciate you coming on, dude.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me on, too, as well. And Shelby, you know, you got to come back to the Pasta to Go show. I always have co-host, you know what I'm saying? I pick different ladies so we can get different perspective. You know, I'm still a lefty. I got to be, you know, there's a woke meter. No.
But you're one of the good ones, Pasta. You're one of the good ones.
Yeah, whatever, dude. Like, you got to combat the bullshit. You got to combat the bullshit, bullshit. But so Shelby came on. She had an awesome time, and people really loved her. And who was on that day with us that was the guest?
Oh, my gosh.
Eric. Eric Hollenbach. Eric Hollenbach.
He was so funny.
He was awesome. He does the Klaus Schwab Jr.
He was hysterical.
He's great. He's my boy. Big ups to him in Austin, Texas and stuff. And thank you guys so much for having me on.
Yeah, it
was a pleasure. It was a lot of fun today.
Hell yeah.
I'm sitting here with my sore back. I'm going to try to make it up and go eat some dinner.
Yeah, dude. I hope you get better, man. That sucks.
Yeah, feel better.
Yeah, I'll be all right. This is what happens. They're going to be 51 in less than 2 weeks. This is what happens.
Damn, dude. That's what happens. Zach, where can they follow and support you, dude?
Unfit Statesman on the social medias. And then go find, you know where the podcasts are.
Yeah, don't be a pussy. Go support Zach.
Don't be a pussy. Get over the fucking Patreon. Stop fucking around.
Right on. I'm at libertylinks.io/rebunked. You can find all my stuff there. And Shelby, where are you at?
I am at unjected.com. You can find me at founder there. Send me a message. Come say hello. And of course, Instagram, unjected official, and Twitter at unjected.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right, gang. I'll catch you. We'll catch you all next week.
Yeah. See you next time.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Peace. Stay unjected.
Thanks, Pasta. Stay unjected.